We have three presentations. The first paper is entitled Electronic Meteor Watch by Mr. David Dodge and Mr. David Hurd of the Vancouver Center. And Mr. David Dodge will present the paper.
Thank you. I was supposed to get a bit of a hand from Dave Hurd, but you know, conventions are like, and parties and all that. The process of obtaining photographic or spectral studies of meteor trails has always been a difficult and often infuriating task. The methods generally used involve either long exposures or an amount of luck and coincidence, which generally makes itself known to people other than yourself. To conduct spectral studies, the time exposures by necessity include a large amount of light from the background of fixed stars. To acquire an accurate meteor trail spectra, one must somehow eliminate this light, and this process is often very difficult or in fact impossible. The ideal process is to acquire a photograph and or spectra of a meteor trail without the long exposures that include the background of stars. This paper outlines a method of photographic analysis triggered automatically by the meteor trail itself, thus freeing the astronomer to study other subjects, two of which I met last night. Fundamentally, the method uses the upper atmosphere ionization trail as a camera trigger system. By tuning a radio to some distant source, preferably above the 15 megahertz band, the ionization trail by a meteor acts as a reflector, momentarily increasing the source intensity. Everyone knows how a radio transmission bounces signals off the ionosphere, thusly. This picture here shows what's happening. As the transmitter's beyond the horizon, indicated by this line here, this is the Earth, this is the ionosphere. The transmitter is beyond the horizon. The transmission not only goes laterally, but vertically and off the ionosphere into your receiver, which is placed right beside you near your telescope or camera. When a meteor trail, however, goes through the ionosphere, next, thusly, there is an added ionization. ionization trail, and the increased amplitude goes to your. The amplitude of an accurate low-intensity source may increase by as much as 25%. This figure here shows it taking place. The next diagram shows the pulse shape of this ionization reflector, and this takes the form of a rapid exponential increase followed by a much slower exponential decrease. You can see in this diagram a hypothetical oscilloscope trace one might expect, the increase and slow decrease. Using a standard radio receiver, a transducer may amplify this increase through some sort of trigger system. The diagram shows the schematic of this type of setup one might use. The receiver, can I have this focused a bit, please? There, thank you. The radio receiver here, the antenna, through the transducer, through the triggering circuit, the servo, into the camera. It also shows this diagram also shows the total volume at point A and the increase up to point B. That's the amplitude increase. The transducer pulse is used to fire some sort of Schmidt trigger system. Incidentally, these triggers may be obtained with almost any firing pulse shape desired. When the trigger receives this pulse, a square wave results as an output. The square wave is used to fire a servo mechanism to open a camera shutter. In addition, the output may be used in conjunction with a time chart recorder to record the times of the various exposures. As electronic delays within the receiver and Schmidt trigger are appreciably smaller than the time of light travel from the meteor trail, most of the time delays are instituted in the shutter of the camera. For the detection of bolides, these time delays are not significant as trails persist for some time. This method has proved workable for nuclear physics as well as for astronomy. For example, the cloud chamber. The magnetic transmission rates are monitored through a computer. A sudden increase in the transmission rate fires a scanner which studies the particle trails within the cloud chamber. If the trails correspond to the path shape of which the pictures are desired, a camera is then fired to record the particle trace. The most recent accomplishment of this system, incidentally, was the possible detection of the hypothetical particle known as a graviton. This particle was predicted by Albert Einstein as the cause of gravitational force, much like the photon carries the energy of light waves. One could easily foresee that to record all meteor trails, a very wide-angle lens system would be necessary, and hence the size of the image would be correspondingly small. The radio receiver would, however, be partially directional, and a system of several receivers and cameras could be coupled to produce a larger individual photographic idea. The standard information that one usually wants to acquire about meteorites concerns its philosophy and direction. The system as outlined here could be coupled with a chopping wheel to indicate velocity, and the camera by necessity indicates the direction involved. As a side point of interest, if it is possible to put the outputs from this type of system through an oscilloscope, one could easily determine the directional redshift. For those of you who may contemplate developing such a system, there is a few points that should be made. For one, the radio pulse increase of meteor trails should be studied quite carefully. As most of you realize, distant weak radio sources tend to drift due to atmospheric and high ionosphere effects. These drifts must not approach the pulse shape of the meteor, or else it will fire the Schmidt trigger, and you'll have your camera going off at the oddest of times, and you'll get nothing but blank sky pictures. Also, as the exposure times during any one of these photographs will be significantly short, one must use a fast film. Plus-X and Pan-X are very short, but I recommend Tri-X or even higher. There is a new emulsion and developer combination on the market known as MWP2. This is produced by the Mount Wilson and Palomar Observatories specifically for astronomical uses. It responds very well to short exposures. For any of you who may be interested in getting more information on this emulsion, just contact the Mount Wilson Palomar Observatories where information is made available. Preliminary results from this combination developer and emulsion have proved very promising, as was testified by a paper presented at the National Research Council Committee on Astronomy, which met in Victoria just 2 weeks ago. I'd like to thank you for letting me talk, and I am going to invite you now to come to Vancouver next year for the next annual assembly. Thank you very much.
I beg your pardon?
Who planned transistor radio? A meteor came to me and there was radiation for the disturbance.
That depends on the closeness of the station to which you were listening, and the frequency.
So by the speed of the meteor and the length of the signal, you'd be able to determine what the meteor or the meteor would come in and impact on the ground?
No, this system was just used to by measuring that increase with fire at the servo, we wouldn't tell whether it hit the ground or blew up or what. It would just tell you that there was a meteor in the air. Any other questions?
I have a question. Are you proposing to put this into effect in the near future?
I'd like to. It's very, very simple to construct. The electronics are quite simple. Like I said, this is really theoretical. I should have said that at the beginning. As far as we know, nobody's ever tried it. We intend to very soon. We'll let you know maybe next General Assembly. Question?
In the early 50s, it happened like what my television was pretty hours of light color was pretty late at night, and every once in a while you'd get a flash of signal that would last for several seconds to a minute. Near a station would be maybe a thousand miles.
Quite probably, yes. Although I wouldn't know for sure. Question?
Not a question. You mentioned FWP2, says it's available.
Yes.
Almost in Palomar. It's also possible now to obtain it from Frison Mirage. They have it in package form. I believe the address is NSKY and all stuff with everyone.
Thank you. I didn't know about Palomar. Question.
When a meteorite comes to the atmosphere, when you have a transistor radio on, does it cause a static or does the signal get louder?
The signal would get louder.
may well have caused everyone to go around with Winchester radios to their ear listening for meteors.